Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Welcome to the show, gearheads. Who says Formula One is boring?
Yeah, we got a little everything today. This was excellent. Only thing we didn't see is rain.
Really? Yeah, it's true. We thought we might get some in Silverstone. Well, this is John Massengill. That was Les Kaiser. Jonathan Green is not in studio today.
He's causing mayhem in Laguna Seca.
Yeah, he's absolutely calling mayhem. Well, that was a great race. Another great race. Two in a row for Formula One. I mean, this thing had it all. Lewis Hamilton wins and kind of snuck the win away from Bottas. Bottas really, you know, was in the position to win the race after winning the pole, and with a yellow flag on Giovinazzi, the timing of the pit stop put Hamilton back on the front of the race.
And I wonder we're going to have to watch the cameras, see if Giovinazzi gets chased again and gets his hair cut completely off after that loss off into the beach, if you will.
All right. Well, hey, if you want to join the show, give us a call and tell us what you think, because we're saying that F1 is no longer boring. And after these two races, 512-643-5483. Give us a call to let us know what you think. But yeah, I think that it's great that it is the British Grand Prix and that Hamilton wins a record six times at Silverstone. And yeah, it's great. The British fans are probably ecstatic that they've got Hamilton to congratulate and celebrate with another Brit. But the race itself, up and down, the battle, really, the story of the race was Verstappen and Leclerc battling. And there's so many. There's just incredible things that happened during the race. But the battle between Leclerc and Verstappen was fantastic.
Yeah, that was fantastic. That was some of the best racing we have seen in quite a while. But I loved to see Red Bull and Ferrari hitting so hard on each other.
Yeah.
Especially Leclerc was racing well beyond his years. This was fantastic. The over and unders, the defending, everything was just really, really good. Even the minor bumps. Loved it. It was all in the spirit of racing. And I will say there was no dirty play at all.
Yeah. And you know, what about the Red Bull car? Because, I mean, it looked competitive all race long. You know, with Verstappen winning last week, obviously they got a good car. But, you know, we were saying last week that, you know, the heat was slowing Mercedes down. But that Red Bull car just battled wheel to wheel with Ferrari for the whole race.
It was.
All
it
four
was.
Cars.
That was fantastic. I definitely enjoyed that. We will, I hope it's a sign of things to come. You know, we're getting through mid-season now. All the latest upgrades are on the cars and they're getting fine-tuned.
Yeah, and of course, one of the giant moments of the race was when Verstappen passed Vettel, and then Vettel just rammed into the back of him. I mean, it's really, yeah, it was, you know, we were kind of arguing about it off air, and I was saying, well, it's clearly Vettel's fault.
Yes.
And he rammed the back of him, and he's going to get a penalty.
All four tires were locked up.
Yeah.
And he did it. So it, I'll say, you know, and speaking of the judge, Your Honor, it's not quite as Mr. Massengill stated. He didn't purposely ram him. As you can see, the brakes were all locked up. Tires were smoking. He was doing his best at that point. But yes, he had made an approach for the inside of the turn and decided that wasn't the right place to be at the last moment.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I mean, you got to give that penalty. So, well, let's just run.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, you got to have something there. What I don't like is throwing out penalties like this. This was the heat of racing. It was all good. It was like, you know, everybody was playing it right. Yeah, he screwed up, but, you know, it wasn't in a, I wouldn't say it was in a careless mode. It was certainly a mistake, but
no,
I wouldn't say
not
it was
careless but
or
still
aggressive.
A mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't argue with the fact that it was not careless, but again, once again, we're talking about a Vettel mistake. Once again, I mean, it is now, you know, we said it in the pre-race show. We said, is Leclerc going to become the number one driver? Did he just become the number one driver? I mean, how many more mistakes does Vettel have to make, and how much more incredible driving does Leclerc have to do? And I know I say it like number one driver, like they, you know, like it's posted on their website, like they announce it, but there's obviously number one drivers in Formula One. And I think this could be Leclerc doing this. It's
tipping
another
point.
Yeah, the tipping point. That's I think this may be it. Yeah. Well, hey, let's run down the grid here. So Lewis Hamilton wins the race. Valtteri Bottas, Charles Leclerc on podium third. Then Pierre Gasly. And yeah, obviously because of the accident with Verstappen and Vettel. But again, my point to those cars with the Red Bull cars doing great. So Pierre Gasly in fourth, Verstappen in fifth, Carlos Sainz sixth, Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah.
What?
Hell freezing over. Williams, two Williams cars ahead of Ferrari.
Yeah, that's true. And then Giovinazzi did not finish the race. And in fact, that was pivotal, really. Giovinazzi's not finishing was the yellow flag that caused the strategy that put Hamilton in the lead of the race. And then, of course, the debacle that was the Haas F1 team. Oh, my gosh. That was just.
Do you think there is now a true a letter from Rich Energy to Haas?
Yeah.
Thanks, Charles.
So what happened? Roman Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen came together on the first lap and caused a puncture in both tires, and then ultimately both did not finish the race. And man, it's just when it rains, it pours. The Haas F1 team, our American team, we kind of expected this kind of season, maybe the first season, and we've been living this storybook start to the Haas F1 team, but this year has caught up, and all the things that could have gone wrong. Okay, so they had the dual wheels come off in Australia, but this season has just been a nightmare.
Really has. It seems, you know, when things are going well, they seem all right. And I mean, they seem very competitive. I look back to Canada and watching K-Mag blast through there and then slamming into the wall of champions and then bouncing across the track for the other one. But, yeah. It is something else. I don't know what the answer is, and certainly if I did, I'd be paid by Gene.
Yeah, well, dude, you know, we talked about it in the pre-show, but they did Haas F1 did a complete reset of Grosjean's car back to, you know, all the way back to the beginning of the season, and hoping to try to identify, I guess, you know, just like we talked about, but you start the car over and then work your way back through and add things back, but man, what a nightmare.
It's painful. Painful.
Yep. So the, you know, the driver of the day, it looks like, I think I saw it on the Formula One website that it's going to be Leclerc. I can't imagine.
Right.
That's not going to be the case. But yeah, they haven't announced it yet. But yeah, Leclerc looked.
That'd get my vote.
Yeah. But the battle between he and Max Verstappen, let's go back to that and talk about it, because It was really, and I kept hoping that they wouldn't crash each other out, and they didn't, and they battled smartly, but man, it was back and forth, and they both, you know, maybe the two best young drivers in the game. I think, in fact, that's an obvious that they're the two young best drivers in the game right now.
Yeah, and I am absolutely loving seeing all of this come through with from the way he handled his qualifying. To Charles Leclerc was just phenomenal, and he's been consistently building up. I think this is the next generation. I think we're seeing it right now. I think it's just coming in, and I think he is it.
Well, we had fantastic racing. We had, you know, we had a safety car that changed things up. We had tons of battles all up and down. And at the beginning, don't forget about the beginning of the race when Bottas and Hamilton were going at it. Okay, so they both started pretty good. Bottas was in the lead. He was on pole, so he was in the lead. And then Hamilton passed him, and I thought, okay, this, you know, it's Hamilton.
He's going to run away
with it. But Botas 3.0, he's gone beyond 2.0 because he's he looked super aggressive, super competitive, and he passed Hamilton back and took the lead and held the lead until the safety car. They look, I mean, that was a great battle, and they stayed within the 1 second DRS window for a good bit.
They did, and that was excellent. And man, I was cheering for Botas, to be honest. I just want to see it shake up. I'd like to see it shake up into somebody other than Mercedes, but at least we're getting there now, you know. And with some of the changes they're talking about for next year, and for 2020 and also 2021,
yeah,
could very definitely see more racing like we saw today in the slower sections. One of the things I'm particularly interested in is they're looking at, one of the things that's being considered around the aero kit is reducing wing size.
Hmm.
And so that we're more dependent on the ground effects instead of the wing itself. Why does that matter? Well, the reason it matters is the bigger wing in the back causes turbulence, and that's what's keeping cars from being able to close up to each other. That's why they implemented DRS to give you that little horsepower boost if you were within a 1 second of the car in front. I'm wanting to see cars be able to maintain that close proximity to the car in front of them everywhere and not be nearly as affected by the dirty wind, dirty air behind them.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about something else that happened. And you remember during the race, it was Verstappen and went into the pits, and he went ahead of Leclerc, and they had a great pit stop, and Verstappen came out just ahead of Leclerc.
They said like a meter.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, they were side by side all the way down pit road, but, you know, Verstappen was ahead, so he went out onto the circuit ahead of Leclerc, but then he made a mistake and got a little off, or the track was mm-hmm. dirty, and Leclerc passed him, and I was like, oh, that was a huge moment, and was just a perfect play out of the way they had been racing, hard racing against each other.
Yeah, yep, fantastic. It is, it's really something else, just the way that plays out, that strategy. We saw twice cars were side by side on the pit lane, and neither time was a unsafe release called. And I think that is because they were in control. In both situations, the second car came out and left room for the first car that was out on the on their way to the pit out. Mm-hmm. I think that was the difference in it, is that they maintained that, whereas before we've seen them jump out there, nearly collide, somebody slams on brakes, all those kind of things to get through. So I agree with that. But I think that was the key difference.
So think about what Leclerc said coming into this race, right? He said he was going to be more aggressive considering what happened to him with, you know, the stewards were happy with Verstappen right. overtaking him, right? So he came into this weekend, said he was going to be aggressive, and he was all race long.
Oh, yeah.
But to me, I never saw that controversial type of aggression or anything. So
I think it was all within the spirit of racing, if you will.
And you know what? This battle between Leclerc and Verstappen, how many years are we going to get to see these two future superstars, what it looks like, make this battle? So this is going to be a lot. Yeah, this is going to be fun to watch. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And you're listening to Speed City. We're live in Austin, Texas. And back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride. Or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Hey, beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
Talk 13.7, the right choice.
Hello, I'm Felipe Massa, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to the show. Just watched a great British Grand Prix, and I think it had everything you want from a British Grand Prix, except a little bit of rain. There was the threat of rain. There were clouds hanging out the whole time, but, man, it shows you what the sport can do for us. You know, we had some pretty rough, boring races earlier in the season, but we've had a couple that have been great, and this did not disappoint. Lewis Hamilton winning the race, and Valtteri Bottas right behind him. Obviously, you could argue that this was a bit of a gift to Lewis Hamilton with that safety car, but, you know, he's had himself in the right position. So I'm just looking down the grid a little bit. We talked about the battle between Leclerc and Verstappen. Gasly looking good. I mean, finishing fourth? I don't know this. It's got to be his highest finish of the season, though. I'm not looking at stats, but I don't remember him finishing that high. And Max Verstappen finishing fifth because of the collision from Sebastian Vettel ramming the back of his car, sending him airborne, man. And you heard him come on the radio saying that, what do you mean my car's working all right? Because they were saying, you know,
right. You saw so much of it airborne. He actually kind of went over the sausage berm backwards, and he was flying backwards with quite a bit of air. I'm guessing that was, you know, a foot or more, and then slamming down onto the ground. And so definitely I bet that floor got damaged. Whether they'll repair it or replace it before the next race, which will cost him at that point. So this should be, it's not over even today.
Yeah, the commentators were talking about, they said they saw something under the car, like the bottom of the car broken out. But anyway, Verstappen finished fifth, which all things considered, he's honestly very lucky, because when they came together, that was a pretty violent crash. And I thought, okay, they're both out of the race. But they both were able to finish the race. You know, Vettel down in 16th, but Verstappen in fifth. And then after that was Carlos Sainz in sixth and Daniel Ricciardo. And then Kimi Raikkonen and then Daniel Kvyat finishing in the points again. And then Nico Hülkenberg, last of the points. And if you want to call us and join the conversation, 512-643-5483. And we have a caller on the line. Hey, we got Andy P. on the line. Hey, Andy, welcome to the show, buddy.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. What'd you think? Two in a row, right?
I'm loving it. It is so nice to have fun F1 again.
And yes.
I even wrote that down. I said two in a row. It's great.
Yep, you're absolutely right. I mean, this one, at one point, we were halfway through, and I was like, oh my gosh, we've seen just about everything. And then it started to level out a little bit, and then Vettel rams into the back of Verstappen, but the battles really all throughout just never stopped.
Yeah, it was fun to see battles at the top of the grid. The top six finally went after each other a little bit. I mean, the Leclerc Verstappen battle, I want to see that go on for the rest of the year, because those two were just amazing. The fact that Verstappen finishes that race was pretty amazing after the hit he took in. The fact that he went airborne was just incredible to me.
Well, I know you got to be I was just going to say, okay. I know you got to be disappointed about Lando Norris.
Yeah, a little bit. It looked like the safety car kind of just threw his strategy a little bit out the window. And, you know, they ended up having to pit him a second time. And he came back into that battle for the last point. And I think if he had maybe one more lap, it would have been a little more interesting. But, you know, that happens in racing. And it's good to say that, hey, that happens in racing.
Yeah, yes. Something happened in racing. Yeah, and you know, same thing with Hamilton being able to take the win because the timing of the safety car. Exactly, it just happens in racing. But But yeah, what else? You were about to say something about the other midfield battles.
I mean, the midfield battles were incredible. I mean, between, you know, Sainz and Ricciardo battling for sixth for, you know, about 20 laps there at the end. Great defending from Sainz. Ricciardo always trying to overtake wherever he can. You know, it was a very good race. It was lovely to see. Like I said, it's nice to have fun F1 back.
Yeah, well, yeah, last weekend we were so excited, but with the British Grand Prix, following up with another good one, too.
All righty. Andy P., I got to ask you, what about the Vettel-Max incident? Was that penalty worthy, or was it just a mistake?
I think it was penalty worthy, and I think Sebastian's already kind of gone on what interviews I've seen and has kind of taken responsibility for it. He looked like he just picked the wrong braking point. And Max clearly had established his position, you know, well out in front. And, yeah, I think that one's on Seb.
All right. So what do you think about my assessment? You know, in the pre-show, I said, are we seeing the switch from Vettel to Leclerc as the number one driver at Ferrari? And after today, another mistake by Vettel and another brilliant race by Leclerc. Is this a tipping point?
I would certainly love to say that. I just don't know that the Ferrari camp believes it yet, even though you've got, I think, a ton of empirical evidence. Look at the strategy call that they did to Leclerc.
Yeah.
You know, that was just weird to me. You know, Ferrari seem obsessed with trying to win the race their way as opposed to playing the cards that they've been dealt. And if they just went with standard strategy, they probably have two cars in the top four again.
Yeah, I think you summed it up for the entire internet.
He's got great answers. I got to ask him one. We're going to shift a little bit here. So if we erase the name of Rich Energy off Haas, what name are you going to put on it, Mr. Andy P?
Well, me being a Rossi fan, I'm privy to Napa. Because I think that would look pretty good going around the world. I don't know how much their global presence is. But, you know, you could also put... I could think, you know, an Exxon or an American oil company or, you know, some American company that would be able to go around and advertise throughout the world. There obviously is going to be some sort of an opening at that Haas team because I have never seen a company, a title sponsor, act like this ever.
This is really astounding.
You're going to be able to write business textbooks as to how not to run a company.
Yeah, it's really true.
I agree. Sadly funny.
All right, I got one for you guys. You see him already in Formula One. How about Dell? How about Dell right here in Austin? Step it up a little bit and take over a title sponsorship of an American team.
I honestly would love that, and I have a little personal knowledge about it, but that you won't ever see Dell in a huge motorsports presence again. At least that was the thought process a few years ago.
Well, Andy P., thank you for calling in, buddy, and thanks for listening. We appreciate it, all the interaction as usual, and your insights brilliant today. I think you summed up the situation there with Ferrari about as good as anybody ever had. So thank you.
Oh, thanks, guys. You guys have a good one, and enjoy the good F1.
Thank you. All right, we got another caller on the line. If you want to call and join, 512-643-5483. We got Brian from Virginia. Hey, Brian, how's it going?
Hey guys, great show. Really big fan. The BBC call was awesome. I'm in the car listening to you guys on XM, so I didn't actually see the race. But yeah, I think, and I agree, it's an exciting race, but we've just got to put it in perspective of the boring Formula One. I've been a Formula One fan for 25 years. The first race I saw live was when Senna passed away, unfortunately. And, you know, so I saw the Schumacher years, I saw the Ferrari years where it was, and I'm a Ferrari fan. But I agree, it was boring because, you know, Schumacher or Barrichello was in the front every time. But I feel like that's what's going on now with Mercedes. And, you know, although it was, I agree with you, there was some good racing, some good dicing going on, the race got decided by a safety car, you know. And Bottas did an awesome job. You know, he was on the pole, had a great start. Hamilton is unbelievable. I think he's the greatest of all time, in my opinion. And Bottas held him off until, you know, we get a safety car. So we didn't, what I don't like is, and you guys hit the nail on the head, we aren't seeing races decided on the track. We're getting penalties. We're getting safety cars. And, you know, it is. It's all about the design of the cars. I get that. I just hate that, you know, a great race, and even like last week with the whole Vettel penalty, you know, wasn't decided on the track. And that's what I hate. But I agree. Great race. And I think the last caller also hit the nail on the head. I think Leclerc has you know, quietly jumped Vettel, I think, three or four races ago. I'd have to look at the races to decide which one I thought it was. But I think three or four ago, I think he's really strong. And I think Vettel is under pressure and he's making mistakes. But love you guys. Love the show.
Well, Brian, yeah, fantastic. Thank you. We appreciate you calling in. And, yeah, I'm glad you enjoy the BBC. They do a great job of calling the race, too. So, Brian, thanks a lot, buddy. We appreciate you calling. Guys, I think that the Leclerc thing, I agree with him. And he is absolutely right about I don't want races decided on a safety car.
Right.
And, you know, Jonathan has said this before, the same thing that Brian just said, that we've just seen, you know, there's been periods in history where you get a team that gets it right and it takes years for people to catch up. And we've seen it before and it's happening again. And he's right. I want to see a change there. But I'm not going to take that away from today's racing because there was plenty of good racing down the grid. And I do want the race decided by racing, but it was still a good race. You know, lots of battles up and down.
Yeah, I am excited for the change there. It's really going to be something to see who else is going to step up with Max, with Charles Leclerc. Who else do you think is next in the youth of the
Lando
of the
Norris?
Lando?
I think Lando's one youth that you have to. I mean, that was an easy answer when you ask about young upcoming drivers. Lando's definitely one of them. And, you know, here's one that may surprise you, George Russell. I mean, I know he's in a car right now that can never, you know, compete right now.
Yeah, his past, though, he's been good. So I could see that.
Let's see. What else down the grid today? We talked a little bit about Lando Norris, Albon. Oh, we touched on, but Daniel Kvyat, once again, scoring some points. You know, at the beginning of the season, we talked about, you know, him coming back because when he left, he was a mess and he looked good. And, but yeah, the Lance Stroll in 13th, I really didn't even notice how his race went today and haven't had a chance to look at anything beyond that. But, oh, and Sergio Perez in 17th finished below the Williams, finished below Vettel after the disaster. But all right, well, look, we're right up against the break. Let's go ahead and do that now. Let's take a break. And you're listening to Speed City. We are in Austin, Texas, home of the United States Grand Prix, coming up here in November. And we'll be back after these messages.
When we see a beautiful car pass by, we always seem to use a hand signal. The classic thumbs up, the point and shoot six gun finger, the hang loose thumb and pinky combo. If you've ever flashed one of those, now there's a car club for you. Introducing the Hagerty Drivers Club with exclusive members only events, insight on buying and selling, the Hagerty Magazine, and roadside service. The Hagerty Drivers Club gives you a big thumbs up. So keep flashing those fingers.
Same to you.
Just not that one. Join the Hagerty Drivers Club at Hagerty.com today.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride. Or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
I'm a bad liar, bad liar.
Hi guys, I'm Hugo Jean from Haas F1 Team, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to the show. If you want to call us, 512-643-5483. Give us your opinion on what you saw, heard today in the British Grand Prix. I want to go back to the Haas F1 story a little bit because they were in the news this week, big time with Rich Energy. And I want, just to set the stage a little bit, we talked about this a little bit in the pre-show, but I want to set it up again because this all started with the controversy with Rich Energy. Started with this tweet that they tweeted on July 10th. Today, Rich Energy terminated our contract with this Haas F1 team for poor performance. We aim to beat Red Bull Racing, and being behind Williams in Austria is unacceptable. The politics and PC attitude in F1 is also inhibiting our business. I still don't understand what they mean by that, but we wish the team well. F1, hashtag F1, hashtag Rich Energy. So that was followed up by another tweet. Rich Energy CEO William Story has commented this ludicrous statement by minority shareholders cozy with Red Bull and white bikes is risible. Their attempted palace coup has failed. I control all the assets of Rich Energy and have supported all their key stakeholders. And then that was followed up with really the one of the most interesting ones, and that is the letter that was sent by the lawyers for the Haas F1 team. And the gist of it is probably the last sentence. It says, furthermore, there is the outstanding claim for damages against the company for copyright infringement in relation to its logo. So our clients, that being Haas F1, are rightly concerned about the solvency, ongoing viability of the company, right? So they're saying out loud what we've all been saying, what everyone on Twitter and Facebook and whatever else has been saying, that the concern of the viability of Rich Energy. I heard that from the moment they were announced as the sponsor, because the first thing we all did, I mean, had you ever even heard of them, much less seen or drank one?
No. Before now, I had not, and I still haven't tasted one. But here's one thing that I see in a theme from Rich Energy. All of their promotions, for one, you know, it's British premium drink, it's British performance, it's British. And they're on a Haas F1 car, which is technically American-owned team. They're premium. I mean, what do you think when you hear premium? If you're going to go buy a drink premium, you know, if you're shopping at the grocery store, and I mean, no disrespect, but Walmart is not where I think of buying ultra premium things, which is what they're hanging their hat on.
Yeah.
Walmart is their primary distributorship in the United States. And I don't think of Formula One and Walmart being in the same arena.
I know. I can't believe we should have tried to find some to drink it, because we'd have a good educated opinion on it. But the people that have heard talk about drinking it say it's similar to Red Bull. It's sweeter maybe, but it's no distinctly premium or whatever. But this is just a mess,
you know,
for Haas F1.
The
timing is so bad right now, with the team performing so poorly, and then these guys acting like a 12-year-old with a Twitter account.
Yeah, exactly. And the argument between Twitter posts. But, you know, the one energy drink that I enjoy and I regularly, you know, consume, Patron Tequila.
That does give you wings.
There you go. Come on, Jean-Paul DeJoria. Let's jump in on that. Maybe even his, was it one of the vodkas I think he's in on as well.
Okay, so that's your suggestion for the new Haas F1 team.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very legitimate suggestion.
Yeah.
I love it.
There you go. My favorite energy drink.
And you know, I know that Jean-Paul DeJoria is an Austin resident. I don't know enough about the company.
Well, he's not sponsoring a Nitro Funny Car anymore.
That's
with
right.
Alexis, his daughter, stepping away from the drag racing world.
That's a great idea. You know, I suggested Dell a while ago, and you, having worked there before, you know that they're probably not going to spend any money. But that's a great idea. Tequila Patron, they're worldwide presence. Jean-Paul DeJoria was an investor in Circuit of the Americas.
Yes.
And they've obviously shown their interest in advertising in motorsports. Now, that was his daughter, but still. But yeah, that's a great idea.
That's a big budget. That's a big, big budget for Formula One.
Yeah, I would. Oh, and we forgot about the part of the story. Speaking of budgets in Formula One, remember what happened right before William Story came out and said that they were no longer going to sponsor Haas F1? Is they lost the lawsuit. Where in the lawsuit, it said they have to disclose what they're spending on the Haas F1 team. So they were going to have to disclose all of these, and they may still have to. I'm not sure. but they were going to have to disclose what they spent to Haas F1. Oof. And maybe when we see that, if it gets disclosed, we'll
go. I wonder if it was actually spent or they said they were going to. I'm sure there was a sizable investment to kick it off.
If I know an American businessman as successful as Gene Haas, he got that check up front. And I'm wondering if it'll all become clear when we see the amount of the check and we all go, okay, well, that's why you decided to let this team that no one had ever, or this company that no one ever heard of, sponsor your team.
Well, so, you know, having spoken to William twice, it is interesting if his personality, and admittedly, we're in Monaco and there's a lot of personality in Monaco. It was quite interesting, and the personality or the enthusiasm, and dare I say the braggadocious ego that was
enormous ego.
Something else.
Yeah, so we're going to play a clip. Les went to Monaco, and he was doing a little grid walk before and spotted William Story and walked over and grabbed this interview from him.
Haas F1, we're live on Sirius XM. Tell me what you told me a few minutes ago. Why Haas F1?
Haas F1. Rich Energy Haas F1 now is the best team on the grid. We think Gene is an incredible businessman. Gunter Steiner is the best team principal on the grid. They're rewriting the rule book. They're an amazing team. They're independent-minded, and they're smart people. They're unpretentious. They're proper racers. And for Rich Energy, which is a British, better version of Red Bull, it's absolutely perfect for us, and we're loving working with them. They're the dream team, and we're delighted.
How is that? From the man himself. You can't get any higher than that.
Good
boy. We'll talk to you later, buddy.
So that was 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago, they're the best team. Everything is perfect. We love working with them. And then he tweets that they're so bad that he can't be associated with them. And then the internal battle ensues between the CEO and the rest of the shareholders trying to kick out the CEO. So yeah, it was really one of the most fascinating stories, like you said, even in business.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just interesting how that's playing out. But, I've also watched some of the forums and the discussions going on where people have, you know, can't find it. And mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, you know, when I checked on that, it was like, really, it's at Walmart. Walmart's everywhere. But again, I kind of raised my eyebrow over the idea that somebody that is in the Formula One environment touting their premium. And, you know, all of that being at Walmart, which is actually one of the largest distributorships in the world, I think, now.
Well, I just hope that there's somebody else can step in, because this is ugly. We just had somebody tweet at us at Speedcaster, Jackie Peterson. She says, how many cars can Grosjean damage before Haas says enough?
Oof.
We talked about this in the pre-show, and I think that you know, I said we've still got some season to go, but, and I don't know, was that Grosjean's fault today?
I bet there's
enough.
A lot of video watching that now from both cars and all. I bet that's already on the agenda.
Oh, sure. I mean,
whether it's up to, you know, the race director or not, you know, the Haas crowd is going to be scrutinizing that.
Well, I think that I think you're probably right. You said it earlier, and that we're probably done with Grosjean by the end of the season, because there are some drivers on the sidelines. And, you know, this will spark the discussion that we had about on Twitter and earlier about what American drivers could take that seat, you know?
Right.
And if you combine that with an American sponsor for Haas, I think that would be a fantastic story and would go a long way to increasing audience in the United States. I think that it's not gonna be the panacea, the magic bullet to bring Formula One to mainstream, because I think that would take an American driver racing for Mercedes or Ferrari or whoever is gonna fight for the championship. Okay. I think for it to go mainstream, it would have to win the championship. But I think to bring it up in exposure, it's gonna require an American driver at one of the leading teams.
So let's explore that a little bit. So if you listen to Speed City shows a couple of weeks ago, we had Gene Haas actually finally mentioned a name.
You mean Gunther Steiner?
Excuse me. Yeah, I've already done that, haven't I? That's going to become a theme.
I'm Gunther.
Yes.
You did it on the grid at Monaco. And
did it. Just did it again here. Gunther mentioned Colton Herta. And I don't have to say that name with an accent for some reason, but so Colton Herta is on
that was
Gunther's funny. Name, you know,
yeah.
is on his short list for names. And so what do you think? He's a rookie in IndyCar, doing fantastic in IndyCar, but would he really pull him up to the ranks of F1 with only a year in as an IndyCar driver?
Hmm. Yeah.
My thoughts are, okay, why would he? Well, he looks good today. He looks good this season. His price for hire has got to be really low compared to just about anybody else.
I know one reason.
Yeah.
If they're driving at the back of the grid like this,
can't get any further back.
Exactly. What else? How much worse could he do? And you know, race driving, as we see in the difference in Leclerc from the beginning of the season to now, is so much about confidence. And man, we sat down with Colton Herta after he won in Austin.
Oh, yeah.
We sat down with him, and that he is just brimming with confidence, and he has been flawless since the moment we saw him. I remember when he showed up in Austin for the testing. So it was before he had done a race in Indy. He'd been in Indy Lights and obviously done very well there, but it was before he'd done a race, and he hit the circuit in Austin here at COTA. And I was in the media center, and I looked up and I saw those lap times, and he led everything. And I was like, holy mackerel. And I tweeted immediately. I said, this kid is fast. And he has looked confident, and you know, the team that he's on is not going to dominate in Indy, right?
Right.
But he's won. He's won in Austin. Wait, did he win a second IndyCar race as well? Or no? He's done very well in Indy, obviously.
Right.
And he's got that confidence. And I don't know. Maybe, do you take a chance?
I tell you what, that's somebody I'd seriously consider.
The official driver of the day has been announced from Formula One, and it is who we thought it was, Charles Leclerc, the man we were just talking about.
Excellent.
All right, let's go ahead and take our last break, and we'll make it a quick one. We'll be back after these messages. Listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas.
Hey beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
We spend an average of 8 hours and 41 minutes a day facing screens. Laptops, smartphones, tablets, even digital refrigerators. But what are we really connected to? Isn't it time you connected to something greater? Sometimes the best way to connect is to disconnect. This moment of escape was created by Hagerty. For people who love cars.
Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
I think we ticked the box and used all of the Haas F1 bumpers we've got coming back.
Seriously, we do want them to do well, but you kind of can't ignore the facts.
We got another caller on the line. By the way, if you want to join us, 512-643-5483. Larry in New York. Larry, you're in New York, buddy. Good job.
Yeah, I go where I'm sent. That's such is my life.
Go where you're told.
The best trucking F1 commentator ever.
It's the life I've chosen. It's like the Godfather. This is the life we have chosen.
Yeah, what'd you think today?
Well, I don't really have a lot of commentary on today because by the time I woke up, was listening to the post-race show with Jenny Gow and the presentation of trophies.
Oh, wow. So you missed the race.
Oh, so what you didn't see, you know, if Lewis Hamilton complained about the trophy back in 2014 and said that it was, you know, it didn't know what to call it, but it was red and it was plastic and it wasn't appropriate for Silverstone. Well, and so he wasn't the only one. They went back to the Royal Automobile Club bright gold trophy ever since, and they continued to do it. So he was happy. He kissed it, and it was all good.
And he got the real trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the post-race commentary and things. I did wake up for that. I think he was on the outlap when I woke up. But the thing that I'm struck by, listening to all the commentary from you guys, is Gene Haas finding out why the other teams spend so much money and he really can't do it on the cheap? Like, he's always thought he could. Him and Gunther Steiner thought they could do it cheaper and better than everybody else. Is that what I'm really struck mm-hmm. by? Is that true?
It may be, Larry, because, you know, we saw them do it for three seasons, and was it just lucky, or have things changed enough to where they, and who knows? You know, Jonathan had a theory about Ferrari, although the engine really hasn't been the problem, but, you know, Ferrari's been supplying them with more than just engines too, but that Ferrari may not be as friendly towards supplying them parts because of the Alfa Romeo team. So, you know, it could be, and certainly money is one of the things that can fix things, but it hasn't helped Ferrari get ahead of Mercedes yet.
I think they also have to manage that that perception that so many folks said early on, oh, so this is a Ferrari Junior team.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they have to be conscious of that kind of thing.
I wonder if they're thinking at Ferrari with the regrets that maybe Haas is tarnishing their image, and that's gross speculation from an uninformed source.
Yeah. I mean, that's all we're all doing, the same thing. We're all speculating. But, yeah, I mean, look, there's no doubt that some more money would certainly help try to fix the situation. But it's just amazing. It's baffling that Kevin Magnussen can qualify fifth 2 weeks ago, and then these guys just be nowhere before they ran into each other, and then be nowhere in the race after that 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, I've heard some really experienced Formula One pundits and commentators say exactly the same thing, that this is really almost unprecedented how fast they can be and then turn around and just be miserable in the race.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a lack of maturity from the personnel on the team. I don't know how many turnover, you know, how much churning there is at the team. And certainly trying to do it on the cheap, they're not going to pay for the best talent, where showing from NASCAR and to F1, it's all about team. Yeah, the drivers, such a huge part of the team, but if the car is crap and the team is crap, it doesn't matter how good your driver is. You put it on his back and carry it so far up the grid like Alonso was doing at McLaren. You know, you're still not going to have that success. And I don't know if he's got to open his wallet. And now the rich energy debacles. I was reminded of Nature's Bakery and Stuart Haas. This has happened to Gene twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's... I mean, it's really... It makes you think about the big picture, because I think Haas F1 originally said they were gonna do a minimum of a five-year commitment, right? And, you know, they've certainly achieved what he set out to do. And this is, I'm going down a path that I don't like at all. But what I'm saying is they've achieved what they set out to do. And is bring exposure to the team. And, you know, the old adage about there's no such thing as bad publicity. This rich energy thing has put Haas at, you know, they're at the top of a lot of European news stories, and that's exactly where Gene wanted to be. And I know that's not where they want to be, but
it's not the way they wanted to get there.
but you know, that there is that saying, there's no such thing as bad publicity, and who knows, maybe that they say we do this another year and then they get out, and then here we are in America with you know, back to where we started. That would be the worst case.
My thoughts on that, somebody is looking. So there's a situation that's just been created to have all these eyes on Haas F1. So what if Rich Energy steps away? Somewhere out there is someone looking at the opportunity to be the you know, on the tail of that, and then have all these eyes on them. If they're watching, in case it's a train wreck, they're watching, they're seeing that brand name, there might be a sizable marketing opportunity for watching a train wreck, if you will.
Well, it's a business model that they've been into twice as an entity. Gene Haas, it's happened twice to them because they doubted Nature's Bakery's ability to actually sponsor a team, and now they're saying they doubted Rich Energy's ability to sponsor a team, to actually come up with the money. And then is he going to become the Barney Visser of F1?
Mm. Yeah, scary. Yep. Well, did you hear Les's... his suggestion for a sponsor in Tequila Patron? Do you have one of your own? I said Dell, but he doesn't think Dell's going to do it. What about you? Any idea?
Well, I would love to see Wild Turkey on it.
Is that just from a personal preference?
Well, it is.
Great American energy drink.
Well, yeah, it is, and it is a quintessential American product, Kentucky bourbon.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think it could be a great marriage, you know, because right now boutique tequilas are hot. You know, Patron's in a fight with Ron White's tequila and Cabo Wabo, and they've made great strides in the quality of tequila, and I'm not a tequila guy, not by any stretch. But what is more American than Wild Turkey?
Well,
both as a creature and a product.
Yeah, well, Les, you're a tequila expert. What do you think?
No, I'm just tequila experienced.
It's a fine line.
Yeah. Some see it different ways. No, no, I get it. I think an American liquor company is a great opportunity, a special one on the worldwide platform. You know, Tequila Patron is out there, and certainly Kentucky Bourbon would be considered one of the top bourbons around as well.
Yeah, and all these beverages, you know, you've got waters and energy drinks and obviously alcoholic beverages, all of those, I think, you know, when you're mixing water and caffeine and sugar and selling it for $4 a can, I think there's always room for sponsorship money.
Well, to be honest, I kind of think, you know, the limitations, you know, gone are the days that you can blatantly put certain products out, and I think there's a risk to what alcohol gets allowed to be included because of the precedent set around tobacco products.
Well, that's true too, but Wild Turkey's not that big a company, unfortunately. They make a fantastic product and it's sold everywhere, but I don't think they're really, because they're still an independent brand. I don't think they have the money, unfortunately. I don't know how Fuzzy Zeller does it in IndyCar. And the other thing, just to change gears real quick from what we're talking about before the break, how long would it take for the FIA would grant Colt Herta a super license?
Yeah, good point.
Yep, I think that'll be an effort in itself.
Yeah,
because that would affect Haas. I mean, the kid, I'm sorry to interrupt you there, I apologize. Yeah. I mean, he's got great genes because of his father. I mean, phenomenal driver. And he's showing the acorn doesn't fall at all far from the tree. But I don't, you know, the snobbery sometimes of the FIA, if they would grant him a super license based on his IndyCar experience.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, Larry, we're almost at the end of the show. You did miss some really, really great. You got to go back and watch the Leclerc-Verstappen battle because it was fantastic. It was really great racing. No matter how, you know, that Vettel won the race on a safety car, that racing was so great, and we expect to see that for a long time. You got to go back and watch that.
I know you have no idea how aggravated I am, but by the time I got to bed, and being an old guy, I really wore myself out last night trying to help this guy for an hour and a half and soaked with sweat. I didn't have a good time. But I was so aggravated when I hit 211 and like, oh, my God, it's the end of the – oh, I was so aggravated. But maybe I can't catch it because that's one for the ages. I mean, you have that kind – that level of activity and that level of overtaking. I mean, that's what racing is supposed to be, you know, for the things up – you know, the guys up and down the grid. When you got battles in the mid-pack and the front pack and, you know, decided on a safety call, you know, safety car. I mean, what more could you want from a race? I mean, literally, what more could you want from a race?
Yeah, it was a good race. Well, Larry, we appreciate you calling, and we'll talk to you next time. All right, guys, well, we got to wrap it up. We are out of time. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and don't forget we have a pre- and post-race show for every Formula One race. Find out all the details on our website, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.